We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
From Learfield IMG College, this is Aggies All the Way, the official podcast of Utah State Athletics. Aggies All the Way is presented by Guild Mortgage. Guild Mortgage Company and the Karen Nielsen team is experienced and knowledgeable with all types of loan products and can tailor the perfect loan for you. Karen and the team would love to meet you and help you own what matters. NMLS number 3274, Equal Housing Lender.
Hey everybody, this week on the Aggies All the Way podcast, sitting down once again with Utah State Athletics Director John Hartwell. Mr. Hartwell, we spoke last week. It feels like it's been a whole lot longer than a week ago since we sat down and talked, and there's been a whole lot that's happened since then. So I wanted to kind of check in with you again and see how this first week of isolation, and obviously you're still here working and a lot of the staff is still here working, but just kind of working through this coronavirus pandemic. I know that there's still a lot of uncertainty. But what's this week been like for you?
Yeah, and you make a great point. It seems like, last Friday when we visited was about a month ago, and literally it seems like, I can't remember what happened last, Christmas or us winning the Mountain West tournament in Vegas. Gosh. It just seems like those are eons ago based on everything that's happened. But, as you mentioned, we are still somewhat in the early stages of this, unfortunately, mm-hmm. and there's no end game yet. There's no, hey, when are things going to go back to, and I'll use this term in quotations, normal, because it's probably going to be a new normal once we do. But we've just got to operate and conduct business with the facts that we know and the precautions that we know, and making sure that student athlete safety and welfare and the safety and welfare of our employees, whether it be coaches, staff, their families, are, at the core of what our decision making is. And as you mentioned, most of our student athletes have gone home. The university technically remains open, but everything is distance learning now, online. Refunds have been offered for anyone living, in campus housing or dining, who are on meal plans. And so a lot, the vast majority of our student athletes have gone home. One of the things that kind of evolved this week, we basically shut down all of our athletic facilities. Clearly no team activities, but really no individual workouts either. And when you look at the health and safety risk, you know, it would be great to be able to allow our student athletes to work out in the Icon Fitness Center or in our mm-hmm. weight room in the Estes. Sure. But, you know, there's so many concerns about that with, you know, body fluids and how are you going to wipe equipment down and all of that, that at the end of the day, and pretty consistent with most people across collegiate athletics, we decided to shut those venues down. Really, the only things that we have in terms of support areas still open is our training room with Mike Williams and his staff down there are seeing student athletes by appointment from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. to rehab or treat injuries or things like that. And then Justice Smith, our associate AD for academic services up on the third floor of the lob, they are still open only from the perspective of any student athlete who needs to utilize our computer lab to get online to access their coursework. But by and far, most all of our student athletes have either you know, a laptop or an iPad or something that they can access their work remotely. Mm-hmm. And one other item from an academic standpoint, all of our tutor sessions, you know, mentor appointments, advisor appointments, all of those things are being done virtually, you know, online and remotely, as are most of our athletic department meetings. We've had a couple of meetings this week with head coaches, had, I think, three executive staff meetings, and all of those we're utilizing WebEx through the university system mm-hmm. to be able to communicate and meet remotely.
So I know that last week when we talked, one of the big concerns that you brought up was getting these student athletes home, and especially student athletes from overseas with all the travel restrictions and things that were being faced. So you said that most student athletes at this point are home?
Yeah, we've got some of our internationals who are still here, but you know, we have several student athletes who are from Australia mm-hmm. who left last weekend, early this week, and have gotten home. We do have some European student athletes who have not gotten home yet, but you know, they also live off campus here, so some of them have chosen to remain here, and again, trying to provide whatever, you know, support that we can to them. I think one thing that's really important, and we touched on it briefly last week, but is the mental health aspect for our student athletes. Again, to be right in the middle of competition, whether you're a men's basketball player preparing for the NCAA tournament, a gymnastics student athlete preparing for the conference meet, or, you know, men's or women's tennis or golf or softball.
I can't imagine how hard it would be.
Outdoor track, just getting your seasons going, and literally to have their athletic careers put on hold or their athletic competitions put on hold. And then on top of that, you say, hey, you've got to go from learning in the classroom to learning online. And, oh, by the way, you know, you probably need to go home. You moving out of your housing arrangements if you were on campus. So a lot of balls coming at them quickly. And what we've tried to do through, you know, whether it's our coaching staffs touching base with their respective student athletes, our academic folks, or just providing the resources through information out to our student athletes, that if they're having mental health struggles, that there are some vehicles and avenues that we can get them help, including even online counseling, which, again, that's probably a term that was not used very much until a couple of weeks ago. But, again, where a lot of people are either self-isolated or mandated, if you're in California now or New York, and it seems like more and more states are going to that, that you can get help even if you're, you know, inside the comfort of your own home.
So it feels like, at least from an administrative standpoint, it's almost like summer has just been bumped up at this point. And maybe I'm wrong here, but you know, a lot of people, I think, from the outside will say, well, if there's not sports, what does an athletics department do? And so I'm just wondering what do you imagine these next few weeks being like and next few months being like in the athletics department?
Well, again, with the fluid situation, a lot of what not only I have been doing, but our executive staff is really trying to disseminate the information coming in, whether it's from the university, the Mountain West Conference, the state of Utah, the NCAA, you know, the CDC, trying to disseminate all of that information and communicate that through our coaches and staff, as well as our student athletes. And quite frankly, that has taken up a significant amount of time. And I can't tell you how many times, you know, we prepared a memo, whether it's to go to coaches and staff or to student athletes, and the fifth or sixth draft or iteration of that memo gets changed because literally as it's being typed up, some new information comes in where we have to change some of what we're doing. So that has been a challenge some. And what we've tried to do, broken down by areas, you know, whether it's marketing and promotions, media relations, academics, compliance, sports medicine, any of those areas, is to have all of the supervisors of those areas develop work plans, again, trying to work as much remotely as possible so that we limit the physical interaction between people or being in the same office space or in close proximity, to work on those work plans and prioritize some things. Because, again, we don't know if this is going to be – we pretty much know this is going through the end of the semester. May 1st is the date that the university has established that, hey, basically all – on-campus activities are suspended until then. So it's at least another, you know, 6 weeks. So what can we get done? What can we accomplish during that time? How can we evaluate, you know, what we're doing? All the while still, as you talked about, you know, it's almost like summer got moved up, doing some things to plan for next fall. And again, there's some question as to what that looks like and when that starts and all of that. But to put together, you know, marketing and promotion plans for all of our sports. As you look at our development and fundraising people, you know, they're continuing to engage folks, and our message to them is, hey, we've got to stay engaged with our donors, keep them abreast of what's going on. And, you know, that's one of those wild card areas. If, you know, you got a lot of people out there, and I was just looking at the stock market a few minutes ago and potentially down another almost 1,000 points today. So when you look at people whose discretionary dollars, whether through their investment accounts, retirement accounts, what have you, are down 30% in the last 3 weeks, we've got our work cut out for us from a development fundraising standpoint too. So really nobody's out there twiddling their thumbs saying, hey, I need something to do. And again, back to our coaching staffs, trying to get our coaches, while they can't, you know, either go on the road or have recruits come on campus, they are busy remotely trying to make sure that they touch base at least daily with our current student athletes. Also with our, you know, signees who are coming in for next year, and obviously they can still recruit within the parameters set as it relates to phone calls to prospective student athletes.
Well, and somewhat on that note of fundraising and revenue, I'm sure that a big thing on your mind and athletics directors across the country has been how this is going to affect attendance at games and things going forward this fall after everything's all over with. What have you thought about that?
A lot. Waking up in a cold sweat late at night. No, but seriously, we've had two conference calls this week with all of the Division I athletic directors, and you're right. There are several components out there to think about. Not the least of which is a $700 million revenue generation machine called the NCAA basketball tournament. That's gone, not happening this year. You know, and there are multiple components of that. The revenue from the ticket piece about $150 to $175 million. The television package, about $500 million. And there's discussion back and forth, you know, from event cancellation insurance. And there are, that's a very specialized insurance industry. There's only so many companies right. that insure those type of events. And when you have something that causes a major shutdown across all event platforms, whether that be the NHL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, college athletics, you name it, you know, professional boxing, there's a whole plethora of events, a lot of which had cancellation insurance that are not happening. So it will be interesting to see the financial solvency of those insurance companies and just how many of those claims they can pay and what percentage they can pay. So that will be a significant revenue loss from an NCAA perspective. And you mentioned some of the other things too. You've got, hey, what does this do going forward to people buying tickets to high density crowds at sporting events, whether it's college basketball, college football, in a market that quite frankly was already flat, if not declining to some extent. So what are the financial ramifications of that? What are the financial ramifications going forward with, you know, basically every institution of higher learning across the country is shut down or has gone to online. So when it returns to somewhat the new normal, how many of those students come back? You know, do you have a drop-off in an enrollment at higher ed? And, you know, that could have an effect, whether it's on student athletic fees, the amount of money of institutional support that you can generate. So there are so many factors out there right now that our message to our coaching staffs and to our administrative units is, hey, we are going to proceed with extreme caution from a budget and a spending standpoint from here until at least we know when the end of this pandemic is.
Well, and it's unlike anything that's ever happened before. It's not like you could just look at the past and try and learn from that.
Absolutely.
So I'm not going to ask you to look into the future unless you have a magic crystal ball somewhere in here. But looking at the fall sports, do you anticipate those being affected at all? Or has that been something that's really been discussed about, you know, what if this is on a larger scale than we think? And what if it ends up bumping back summer practices, which would in turn have to bump back fall sports? Has that been a topic of discussion?
It's certainly been on people's minds. And the initial answer to that is, we certainly hope not. I mean, sure. We hope it will be beneficial for our student athletes, our coaches, our staffs, our student bodies as a whole, our universities, our communities, our fans, to return to sporting events as soon as possible, because it's very clear there's a void for a lot of people and it fills a need for a lot of people. So
I think everyone agrees with you on this point.
Yeah. So the sooner we can get back to that, the better. But again, the trump card has to be, pardon the pun there, I was not talking about our president.
Sure.
But the overlying reasoning there has to be about safety and people's health. And so until we get some handle on that, you know, that remains to be seen.
Of course. So on maybe a little bit of a more upbeat, positive note, there is a lot that's still going on in the athletics department. I know that, you know, this fall there's obviously a lot of anticipation for the football season, a home opener against Washington State. And that's something that I think, if nothing else, Utah State fans can look forward to and just be thinking about this football season and the fall sports and everything still to come this fall.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Power 5 opponent coming to Maverick Stadium for the first time since it went Power 5, if you will. I think, you know, the last time an equivalent type opponent came. Well, I take that back. Wake Forest was here in 2014, but you know, a Pac-12 opponent coming to town. So a lot of excitement about that. It'll be the Thursday night of Labor Day weekend, a national television, nationally televised game. So a lot of excitement around that, and there's planning going on around that. You know, and who knows? You asked the question, well, we really hadn't had spring practice. If things, let's say, let's just arbitrarily say June 15th, things start to get back somewhat to normal, what does that look like? Does the NCAA make a concession or adopt legislation that allows for additional 2 weeks of practice? Because a lot of people either did not have a spring practice or did not complete all of their spring practices. Mm-hmm. So all those things are out there being talked about amongst our peer groups to try to come up with some resolution. But you can't come up with a resolution until you know an end date on the situation that we're currently in. And then, you know, the other big thing we've got going on, and we've plowed ahead through this one. I won't say there haven't been some logistics challenges, but we are in the midst of today is the day two of three on-campus interviews for our women's basketball head coaching position that's currently vacant. We've had great, great interest in the position, very qualified candidates. We did an initial interview of eight candidates and have pared that down to three, have the second one on campus today. The third one will be here tomorrow. And we are hopeful by the early part of next week to be able to make a decision and an announcement and, you know, depending on travel restrictions, be able to introduce the new head coach of Utah State women's basketball sometime early to mid next week.
Well, and you recently made a coaching hire as well with the volleyball team. And I know that that's almost been lost in all this craziness, but it seems like a really exciting hire there, a coach who's spent a lot of time with the U.S. national team. Can you just talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, Rob Nielsen is, you know, no stranger to the state of Utah. He's a Southern California native, played at BYU, coached on the men's side at BYU, extremely well thought of in the volleyball world, is the lead assistant for Team USA on the men's side for the planned upcoming Olympics again, TBA on how that plays out with COVID-19. But yeah, really excited to get him on board. And actually, I was having the conversation earlier today with Jerry Bovey and Amy Crosby. So, you know, the back corner of the Estes Center over there with Craig Smith, that whole corner is a ton of electricity and juice anyway. With Rob in there now, a whole level of excitement there. And, you know, excited about the candidates we have in and, you know, projecting forward who we're going to hire as the women's basketball coach. Mm-hmm. So the Estes Center is going to be hopping in terms of energy and excitement. And I think certainly it's parlayed to success on the men's basketball side. And I think it will in short order in volleyball and women's basketball as well for the Aggies.
Well, there's not much more exciting in sports than when the Estes Center is packed for a volleyball game. That place gets crazy.
Yeah, no question. And again, you know, that's another one of our fall sports that mm-hmm. Is only about 4 months around the corner. So hopefully, you know, the pandemic can start to subside for sure. Us and we can get back to new normal as soon as possible. And, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't say, you know, how thankful we are for all of our Aggie family, whether student athletes, coaches, staff, families, fans, donors, all of that. And certainly our thoughts and prayers and wishes for staying safe and healthy extend to all of our Aggie family. And, you know, as we've done a couple of pseudo PSAs with myself and some of our staff, mm-hmm. you know, please take heed and follow, whether it's the CDC guidelines, what our state and local government, what the university is asking us to do, to practice social distancing. Don't congregate in large groups. Wash your hands, use hand sanitizer, all of those things that if we all pitch in and do that, we're going to turn the tide on this thing sooner than later and get back to normal.
Well, Mr. Harwell, we'll wrap things up. But, you know, as I said last week, I think that there are still a lot of questions people are wondering. And so I think this is really good for them to kind of be able to hear the voice of reason, as I'm going to call you, talking about that and get a little bit of guidance. Is there anything else that you want to leave with Aggie fans?
Yeah, I think just, you know, keep the faith. You know, with Aggie Nation, we will continue working, whether we're physically in our offices or you know, working online to make you all proud of Aggie athletics, whether it's in the classroom, on the fields of play, or in the community. And, you know, anything that we can do for Aggie Nation, please don't hesitate to reach out. And I think right now the most important thing is communicating, keeping those lines of communication open, providing accurate and up-to-date information. And as I said a couple of minutes ago, you know, be safe, practice good hygiene and the things that the CDC and other authorities have outlined for us to beat this pandemic, which it's not if, it's when we beat it. And again, I think the power of positive attitude and plowing through it and keeping on keeping on is really important for Aggie Nation and for us all.
Well, I know that you've had a lot going on these last few weeks, so I appreciate you taking a little bit of time to come on.
Sure, glad to.
Okay, thank you.
This has been Aggies All the Way, the official podcast of Utah State Athletics, presented by Guild Mortgage. Guild Mortgage Company and the Karen Nielsen team is experienced and knowledgeable with all types of loan products and can tailor the perfect loan for you. Karen and the team would love to meet you and help you own what matters. NMLS number 3274, Equal Housing Lender. The proceeding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Aggie Sports Network.